portion in the life of Stephen, chapters 6 and 7. And of course, that was a very long sermon that he preached. Now, so far in the book of Acts, we have looked at the purpose of Pentecost. We'll call that evangelism. Then you have the people of Pentecost. They were scattered from all over, and they took the gospel with them to so many parts of the known world. Then thirdly, there's the praying of Pentecost. What great prayer meetings. What power God gave in prayer, and what many answers. Then also you have the preaching of Pentecost. That was our subject last week when we looked at the preaching that gets you in trouble. We have learned of the power of Pentecost, and it seems that wherever the word was preached, souls were converted, prisons were emptied, prayers were answered, and God's power was everywhere. Then I will add to that the perpetuity of Pentecost. It wasn't just once. It was repeated again and again, where men were filled with the Spirit and equipped to do the work of God. Tonight we come to number 7, the persecution that followed Pentecost. And that was due to its impact. If there had been no impact, no real impression made upon the people, upon the city, well, everybody would just shake it off and say, oh, this will die. But it wasn't dying, it was growing. And it was not what these new Christians were doing wrong that brought persecution, but rather it was what they were doing right. They were right, chapter 542, for their unceasing zeal. Chapter 542, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And there you'll also see that they were right for their unchanging message, preaching Jesus Christ. They were right for their organizing methods. Chapter 6, that was the appointment of the deacons. And we took that also as a model for our own recent election of deacons. Every church should have men that are willing to serve in these areas. And as a result of that organization, the church grew and multiplied. Chapter 6, 8, they were right for verifying signs. And if you read there, he gave him chapter 6, 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there you'll see that this is God at work. This is God using Stephen. In verse 10, you learn of his wisdom. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then in verse 15, you have Stephen's countenance. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And then chapter 7, 2, right through to verse 53, you have Stephen's preaching. And what a sermon that was. He went through the archives of the Old Testament, and he went right down the line with the one goal to convince people that Jesus was the true Messiah. And so we have to say that these early Christians did everything that was right, and for that, they faced persecution. Sometimes when you have hard things happen in your Christian life, especially when someone gets offended and you lose friends, you wonder, what did I do wrong? Well, you might be doing everything right. You might be saying the right things and standing up for the right causes. And because of that, there are those who become your enemy. Now, this martyrdom of Stephen just shows you the absolute venom of the hatred of religious zealots who could not take the preaching of the word of the Lord. And this was cold-blooded murder. Jews could not normally take life into their own hands. When they were going to crucify the Lord, they had to take him to Pilate, and it was through Pilate that the command was given that he should be crucified. Now, here, they just go into mob rule, and they lift those stones, and they are martyring Stephen, and this is a tremendous evidence of the power, the hatred of men against the gospel. Now, what is recorded of Stephen in his death is really confirmation of Christianity. His face shone. He looked up to heaven. He saw the living Christ. And what comfort he found at that time. Talking about help in death, talking about God ministering to his people in the hour of death. Well, for Stephen, the Lord came through with great power and with great grace. It was, as we read this, a human tragedy, but a triumph for the gospel. Because here was a tremendous testimony to the power and the grace of God at work. Now, what do we want to look at tonight is the confirmation of Christianity in Stephen's martyrdom. And we see here the reasons for his martyrdom, and we will look at the heavenly sights in his martyrdom, and then the grace that was given to Stephen in his martyrdom. And I'm sure you're glad that I'm not going to preach on all that 50 odd verses of Peter's or Stephen's sermon. No, we're going to go right to his martyrdom at the end of chapter 7. So this is our preaching plan. And we can thank God the resurrection and the heavenly ministry of Christ is greatly confirmed in this event as recorded here in these verses. So firstly, we're going to see that Christianity is confirmed in the reasons for Stephen's martyrdom. Number one, Stephen was martyred because of the man that he became. Consider the making of a man like Stephen. He is a Jerusalemite. He grew up as a Jew. He was converted to Christianity. He was given a responsibility to become a deacon in the church. He was a man full of faith, the Holy Ghost, and wisdom, and did many great, mighty things in God's name and in God's power. And it was the making of the man was the reason why he was persecuted unto death. Now let's go back and check these things. Chapter 6, 5, we will see that he was full of the Holy Ghost. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. He was the first man chosen, and he is characterized as a man full of the Holy Ghost. And then down in verse 8, chapter 6, he is a man full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, that power there refers to dunamis. It is the dynamite of God at work in this man's life. And so what a testimony he had. What a character he was. And what a transformation in his life. And so nobody could just ignore Stephen. He was a very effective witness for the Lord Jesus. Indeed, every Christian ought to pray that we may be made an effective witness for the Lord in the midst of the world. And that's why Christians lose friends. That's why the world can't be in our company at ease, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have faith, we have convictions, we have the truth of God's Word, and so around the world tonight, there are people willing to suffer. and endanger their lives because of Christ, that they might stand up for the Lord Jesus. And I trust that we will have that grace as well. Now, Stephen was also martyred because of the message that he preached. And we noted in chapter 542 how there was this consistent message. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so you can see that Stephen was totally convinced. And in chapter 7, Peter took some 50 verses going through the history of the patriarchs, the prophets, leading to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah that they were all declaring and prophesying about. And you'll notice that he moved from Abraham. Let's go to the sermon now in chapter 7. I realize we're covering a lot of different pages here, but chapter 7, verse 8, and you begin now to look at this sermon of Stephen, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac, and then mention is made of Jacob, and then in verse 9, mention is made of Joseph, and then over in verse 20, mention is made of Moses. And so he keeps going on and on down the line to convince his hearers that they were all given light and prophesied of the Lord Jesus. And if you look at chapter 752, you will see his application of it all. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, the Just One. What a tribute to these Old Testament preachers and teachers. And now, in the face and in the confrontation with the Jewish elite, he's summing it all up in these closing verses of chapter 7. And of course, that is the gospel witness today. We are promoters of the truth that everything points to Christ. Everything points to Jesus. Everything is fulfilled in his life and death. And he is the Savior of the world. And it was for that that Stephen was persecuted. Stephen was also martyred because of the conviction of sin that his ministry brought. In verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. You can see that Stephen struck a nerve. Stephen got to the heart of the issue, and he rocked the boat. And he wrought the comfort of these people. And so they set out to kill him. When you have to kill the messenger, you know that the message is getting through. Where were the answers of the learned, the rabbis, the scholars, the scribes, the professors? Well, as it was said, they could not resist Stephen's wisdom. And of course, when we have this Bible in our hands, we can stand against all the leaders of this world and say, here is the truth. Here is the gospel. And we must never be ashamed nor afraid of the opposition of men, even learned men, when you have the Word of God as your sword. And you can see how Stephen had a tremendous confidence in the message which he preached. Also, he was martyred because of the advance of Christ's work. Stephen was spearheading the growth of the church. He was chosen of the people, and many converts were saved. In chapter 6, verse 7, you will read there about priests that were converted to the faith. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now those must have been Levites. They were the priests. Can you imagine that when they were converted, that they would show up at the Christians' meetings in homes and wherever they met, and they were therefore neglecting their work in the temple? They were switching from the Levitical ministry to the ministry as believers. And of course, Christ, when he died on the cross, that veil was torn in two, the work of the temple was over, sacrifices were no longer required, and so these Levites, who were being sustained by their ministry in the temple, were now paying a great price to take their stand as Christians. The other thing that must have caused fear among the Jews is noted there in verse 7. And it says, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And so they switched their loyalty, they switched their activity to the cause of Christianity, and got away from that work of the temple. And so Christianity was advancing, Jewry was bleeding, and they were losing their manpower, and this was a huge problem. And the opposition against Christianity came because of this advance of the church. And so for all these reasons, Stephen, well, they determined that they would put him to death. And here we are 2,000 years later, and the gospel is still going out. Praise God, this work is never done. And the Lord is at work today. So that's a great confirmation of Christianity in Stephen's martyrdom. Because of his message, his success, advancing the work of the church, Christianity was going forward. Then we're now looking at the heavenly sights of Stephen's martyrdom. We're going to look at chapter 7 and verse 56. And behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And here in this very hour, Stephen was given faith to see right into eternal things. And God is able to reveal himself, make himself known to the hearts of the dying. And this was a visitation of God to Stephen, to quicken his senses, to enable him to behold something of that glory of God. And through history, many martyrs have testified of that, or others have testified that about them, that in the throes of death, they witnessed a tremendous strengthening by the Spirit of God. And even those who were by nature very timid and weak, when it came to laying down their life, God came through and ministered to them very powerfully. In verse 55, we are told here that Stephen saw the glory of God. This is the God whom he preached. This is the God whom he declared to the nations. And this was a confirmation to him, and indeed to all the church, and here it's recorded for us. Now I want to take you back to chapter 7, verse 2, and when Stephen began that sermon, that historical message, he begins with Abraham. And he says in chapter 7, 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham. That was an amazing event in Abram's life when he was in he was still in Ur of the Chaldees. He was still in idolatry. But right there, the God of glory appeared unto our father when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Now, Haran was the first staging point after he left Ur. And it was right in Ur, when he was in idolatry, that the glory of God, or the God of glory, appeared unto his father Abram. That's Stephen's preaching. And then over in chapter 7, verse 55, you will see that Stephen himself now, he saw the glory of God. What a great message is here for us tonight. Our God is the God of glory. He dwells in His majesty, in the Shekinah glory of heaven. And when our eyes are open to His beauty, what blessing is in store. Now, Stephen also saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And again, this is a great confirmation. It's a confirmation of so many things about the gospel, the resurrection of Christ. Jesus had said, I go to my Father, I will come again. And repeatedly, the Lord told his disciples that he was going to be with his Father. And here now is Stephen looking right into heaven. What does he see? He sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that gospel that he has been preaching and standing upon, he is beholding with his own eyes. There is confirmation of the angel's testimony when the Lord ascended. This same Jesus is no longer here, but is gone into glory. And that's a confirmation. And then if you go to chapter 233, when Pentecost was poured out in the early church, it was Peter's analysis that this was the result of Jesus at God's right hand. Look at chapter 233. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. And so, how did Pentecost come about? It was Christ risen at the right hand of the Father, and in power sending the Holy Spirit, resulting in Pentecost, in evangelism, the explosion of the New Testament church. And here is Stephen witnessing with his own eyes the Son at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen's testimony is a tremendous confirmation of the very power of the gospel. And so tonight we can be sure that there is a heaven. We can be sure that there is a throne, as we read in the book of Revelation. We can be sure that Jesus sits upon that throne with his Father. Now, it says here that he was standing at the right hand of God. I heard one try to expound this, that he was so interested in Stephen's martyrdom, so taken to minister to Stephen in those moments when the stones were being hurled at him, that our Lord Jesus is as if he stood to his feet to look down at Stephen being stoned, that he would minister to him at that very moment. But often, of course, in the Bible, we read of Christ at the right hand of God as seated in glory upon that throne. And he's given all authority. He has given everything to the church. He's the head of the church. And the keys of the kingdom are in his hand. Now, think of this in Stephen's life, that in one day he preached about God's glory. He looked up to the sky and he saw God's glory. And then when he was martyred, he was immediately in God's glory. That's a tremendous hope. That's a great testimony of a Christian. He preached about his glory. He reminded people of God's glory, who revealed to Abram. He saw the glory of the Lord with his own eyes. And then at death he entered into it, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now these things confirm the gospel that we preach. This is real. This is substantial. And what a great testimony we see here. Now in that hour, the gospel is confirmed again by the grace that Stephen received in his martyrdom. We know that the word grace in the New Testament is a key word. And we read repeatedly here in the book of Acts that about great grace. Great grace was given them all. Well, what great grace was given to Stephen at this point? To Stephen there was given grace to contend. When the enemies of the gospel mobbed him, he didn't cower. He didn't change his message. He didn't deny the Lord. But he was given boldness to stand fast. And in the face of those who literally raged against him. Think of the spite and the fury, the red faces that were hurling rocks at him. And yet all the while, Stephen stood fast. In verse 56, Stephen had grace to confess the things he saw. It says there, and said, this is Stephen's own words now, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." And he didn't keep quiet about it. He didn't keep it a secret. He made it known. This was like throwing fuel on the fire of his enemies that were at rage with him. And he saw the heaven opened. He saw the Lord Jesus, his Savior, reigning at the right hand of God. Nothing short of grace could make a Christian do that. This was not Stephen's own power. It was not his own strength. It was the Spirit of the Lord, the grace of God at work in him and assisting him in this hour. Now think of a Christian on their deathbed. Think of a believer who is losing their physical strength and faculties. Breath is going. Mental strength is declining. Farewells are being said around that bed to family and friends. God's grace. God gives dying grace to those that are going into eternity. It's not unusual for Christians to pray around a deathbed and pray, "Lord, give this dear saint an abundant entrance into glory." Now, what does that mean in real terms? It means that their faith is strengthened, that their heart is engaged in prayer, that the Spirit of God helps them to keep their eyes on Jesus. If ever a Christian needs their eyes on Jesus, it's at the point of death. And for this we see the Spirit of God working in Stephen's life. And so Christians ought not to fear the hour of death. Christians ought to fortify themselves with the knowledge that the Lord is our shepherd. And as the Psalm 23 says, that "yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me." And for the Christian, it is a shadow. It is not complete darkness. The Lord is with us. And we see that here in Stephen's life. We also see that Stephen had grace to pray. Verse 59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now that has become a wonderful model for many martyrs who by different means gave up their life for Christ. But when it came to that point of the fire eating and burning or whatever the form of death, they would still engage in prayer. Lord, receive my spirit. And of course, that's the ultimate test of truth. Stephen was willing to pay the supreme sacrifice for his Savior, for his faith, because he believed in it. He was convinced in it. And now his life is a tremendous testimony of the grace of God. He knew he was going home to glory. And so, as I said, in one day he preached of glory, he saw the glory, and he entered into the glory. And praise God for that wonderful testimony that Stephen bore. Now, one last thing we come to tonight in verse 60. Stephen had grace to pray for his enemies. He said in verse 60, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How Christian is that? That whole picture, praying for his enemies, kneeling down, and entering into sleep. Now, does that mean that he had blood loss? Does that mean that he had an injury that he could not function as normal? I don't know. But I notice here that the Bible records death as a sleep. And whatever form death takes for us, it is like breathing our last and awakening in glory the next moment. But what a great confirmation that Stephen was able to pray for his enemies. The hatred, the venom, the hostility against him was still raging. And here is Christianity that works. Stephen was able to follow the Lord's instruction, pray for your enemies. In his hour of trial and trouble, he turned that to the Lord. Now, there's a closing little caveat here, and that is that there was a young man in his presence who witnessed Stephen's death. And we're told in verse 58, and cast him out one of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. A young man, Saul of Tarsus. And he witnessed something that day that never left him. The grace of God in the death of a Christian. And the mighty power of the Lord in Stephen's life impacted upon Saul of Tarsus. He wasn't converted that day, but from that hour, it was more difficult to live without Christ than ever before. Augustine wrote, "The church owes Paul to the prayer of Stephen." As Paul heard that prayer, Father, forgive them. What a comfort that must have been to him at many times in life. And so tonight we take great comfort and great hope in this martyrdom of Stephen. What a testimony he is to the power of the gospel. These things are real. We can lean on this gospel in life and in death. This is our comfort and our hope. And I trust that you will rejoice in all that the Lord can do for you tonight.